Welcome to or welcome back to the Tread Lightly podcast. I am co-host and running coach Laura of Laura Norris Running.
And I'm your co-host and running coach Amanda Brooks of Run to the Finish. A couple of things. As always, a reminder that both Laura and I do have coaching services. So if you feel like you are grinding through things on your own and just not quite getting where you want to go, feel free to reach out to either of us. She is lauranorrisrunning.com and I'm runtothefinish.com. We are here to help. And of course, always here to answer questions like one that came in from Arthur.
Yes, I received this from email. Thank you for reaching out, Arthur. He wrote in, I wanted to ask how you and Amanda deal with not having a race, specifically a marathon, not going as well as you wanted. Really, the main question is, what tips, feedback, and advice do you have for the grieving process after a race that missed a goal?
I love this question, honestly, because I have certainly had these races. And even just framing it as a grieving process, I think is so important. Nothing frustrates me more than when I see people post that, like, well, you finished, so you should just be happy. So your job is just to immediately be positive about everything. But I think when you have spent months and months focused on doing all the hard work for a specific goal, you are allowed to have every single feeling about it not going well. So Chicago 2021 for me was that race where I had the perfect training cycle and then it was like 80 degrees. It was not my day. So initially, I just let myself be sad. And I think that's huge and fine. And then I start saying, okay, well, now I need to move into the next steps. I don't just stay sad about this forever, but I think that first piece of just allowing yourself to be sad is really important.
It is. And I think sometimes, like, we don't give credence to the fact that multiple feelings can exist at once. Like, I've had athletes say, especially after a marathon, where they're like, you know, I was proud of myself for finishing when it got really tough and I wanted to quit. And at the same time, I'm disappointed in my finish time. And there is space for both those feelings. Both things can be true. And then I think the other thing, you know, in our last episode, if you haven't listened to it, go listen. We talked about how it's not the end of the world if you miss a goal. While that is true, it's not the end of the world. It is okay to feel your feelings. Like, those are valid. And I think, you know, for me, sometimes this isn't true for everyone. It helps to also kind of, like you said, like, give yourself time to grieve and then go on to the next steps. And I haven't done this with a marathon, but with shorter distances, I have definitely done the, like, okay, my half marathon didn't go as I wanted, so I'm going to go turn around and do a 10K in 4 to 8 weeks. And sometimes that can just help because it gives you something else to focus on. A marathon is trickier though, because you have to recover well. It could be a good time to be like, well, I focused all this time on running. I'm going to spend some time on strength. I'm going to chase down a goal slightly separate from the marathon for a little bit.
Totally agree. I think one of the other things for me that I'll start to do is, okay, I usually set a period of time. Like, you can be sad for a couple of days and then we're going to start, like, working through this. So for me, next steps then is evaluating the race. Was there something that I could learn from it? You know, is there something I could do differently in the next time? So starting to get a little more factual and a little bit out of my feelings is helpful. And then I start to look at the training cycle too. And so for me, that ended up shifting a lot of things around Chicago to be able to look at that training cycle and kind of say, look how much fitness I gained. It's not like that disappeared just because today didn't go well. I still made a lot of progress. And my initial reaction was that I was going to try to do another marathon. I think it was maybe 8 or 10 weeks later. And I started kind of training for that and then realized it just wasn't actually the thing I wanted at the moment. But even kind of that realization that, like, I can have a really good training cycle felt really good. Like, oh, I learned so much. I fueled so well. So I think setting that time frame and then starting to look at some of the factual stuff helps you start to just move forward and see the good things that actually came out of just training. That's, we always sort of forget, like, training gets thrown by the wayside for race day, but there's so much that just comes out of showing up consistently for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, training's one day out of 16 weeks for, or sorry, the race is one day out of 16 weeks for a marathon. Like, statistically speaking, there are probably more days that went well than not, even if your race did not have the desired outcome.
Yeah, for sure. So, Arthur, I hope that helped a little bit. Today's topic is one that needs to come with a whole bunch of caveats before we jump into it.
Yes. So neither of us are physical therapists, physios, kinesiologists, whatever you want to call it. We are both certified personal trainers and certified running coaches. So we have a little bit of understanding on anatomy and stuff. But this is general advice. This is not individual advice. This is not medical advice. This is general advice on returning to running after injury.
And we, between us, have decades and thousands of runners of experience. So that is kind of what we're drawing on here. And it was probably one of the most common questions you all have sent in over the entirety of this podcast. And so it just took us a little while to try and find the right way to put it together to be useful. So let's talk about returning to running after an injury.
And the first question that a lot of people ask when returning to running is, when can I start running again? What are some criteria you want to see met prior to giving an athlete their first return to run back on their plan?
Yeah, I think the big thing both of us are always going to say is that you have been to your doctor or your PT and someone has said it is okay for you to come back. Assuming that it was some sort of decent sized injury. Now, I understand at times we just have like a little niggle in our knee and we take a week off. That's a little different. We're talking about you've probably been off for a little while and that's why you're returning. So one, I want that clearance. And then I want you to be able to walk without pain, which sounds ridiculous to even say out loud, but I just had an entire conversation with someone about shin splints. And that was one of my questions. She was like, I've been dealing with this for like 6 months. And I'm trying to run, I'm doing the strength. And I was like, well, can you walk without pain? And she was like, yes, unless I try to fast walk. And so if you can't walk without pain, I don't want you to run.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds so simple, but it is something I think a lot of people ignore out of their eagerness to start running again. And the timelines will really vary. So usually bone stress injuries are actually a more definitive timeline, assuming that you have things like adequate energy availability, that it wasn't like an eating disorder that triggered that bone stress injury and is inhibiting healing. Usually bone stress is 6 to 8 weeks, and you do want clearance from your ortho before starting to run. Soft tissue stuff is more chaotic. So it might be 3 weeks, it might be 3 months. And like Amanda said, you want to be able to walk without pain, but it might be a longer layoff than you hope. And it might have even false starts back into running.
One of my athletes recently had an ankle sprain, and the initial doctor did say like 3 months before she could run again. And I was a little taken aback, but I was like, well, that was medical advice. So the next step was she did start going to PT, and the PT, who was physically watching what she was doing every single week, was like, we absolutely don't have to wait that long. So I think remember too that you may get varying advice from different people. If you're going to physical therapy, usually that person is truly watching your movements and asking about your consistent pain rating versus maybe the doctor who saw you on day one. And so a lot of times they maybe have a better sense of exactly how you're progressing. My other recommendation is, if at all possible, try to go to a physical therapist who notes very clearly that they are a sports physical therapist. You will find that it is a different experience than going to someone who is generalized. Often their goal is simply to get you walking again. Our goal is to get you running again. And so we really want someone who also understands that that is the goal and taking the steps to that.
Yeah. I mean, if you see a general physical therapist, you're probably already the most active person they're seeing all day. I think sometimes we forget that as runners. And also, like, it is really worthwhile seeing a physical therapist or an ortho because your primary care physician does not receive the same training on kinesiology, athletic movement, et cetera, that they do. And that's no diss against primary care physicians. They are so knowledgeable. They are wonderful. It's just simply, it is what it is. And that's probably why you might get differing answers. Usually I defer to a physical therapist's answer over a primary care physician if the athlete has two answers.
Yeah, I think a friend of mine is a good example of this recently. She has had major knee surgery on both knees around ACL. And one time she had a sports physical therapist. The second time around, she could not get into one. So she went to a more general one. And that knee is not healing in the way that the first one did. And she's like, I think it's because the physical therapy was so vastly different, the goals and the outcomes, because that they're doing what they're trained for, which is, you know, not focusing on you being able to climb mountains and trails and whatever. So if at all possible, make that goal one. That is going to help your comeback. They should be part of your training plan coming back.
Yes. So then once we get past all that, the criteria, the next considerations all revolve around how long you were off. Because the longer you are off, the slower your return to running is going to need to be, both from a cardiovascular perspective and from a musculoskeletal system perspective.
Yeah. So we've talked about this before in like, how quickly do I lose fitness? And so if you had an injury where you were out a couple weeks, I'm not really too worried about you. You're going to be just fine. But like you said, if you've had a longer injury after 8 weeks or so, we are starting to see that your aerobic system has shifted and you're going to have to build some of that back. We know muscle strength, actually, we lose that a little bit before we even lose like some of the aerobic. So just know when you've had that longer time off, expect to make a very slow, steady return and not kind of jump in. I think we see like elite athletes jump back in super fast sometimes. One, they're at a totally different level. Two, they have a whole team around them. Three, they would agree it also probably wasn't the best idea a lot of the times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a paycheck on the line, and some companies will cut their contracts if they don't race within like 6 months or 8 months or so. You do not have your paycheck on the line, most likely, if you're listening to this. So it just is prudent to be a little bit more conservative coming back.
Yeah. So when you're coming back, I think folks who have never done run walk are sometimes very resistant to starting with it, but I am a big fan of honestly just having you walk. I just want you to like get back to like we talked about before. Can you walk 30 minutes without pain? Okay, cool. Now let's try to use some run walk intervals. And for folks who have been training for years and years, I actually love having like giving them the couch to 5K plan because it is a forced like progress for them to follow instead of, okay, I'm going to do run walk. I can probably run for like 6 minutes, but it's like, I really want you to run for like a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of run walk for any injury that takes you out for more than 6 weeks, but sometimes even less. Like I've had some athletes who are out for only 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but their physical therapist says, hey, because you injured your soleus and how this muscle responds, you should use run walk to manage load as you start running. It's a great tool. Like Amanda said, start really conservative, like 1 minute run or 2 minute run. I think it's one of those things that's well worth it. And if you've been cross training during your injury, it's going to feel like an aerobic cakewalk. And that's okay. You can always add cross training onto run walk, but you don't want to push yourself on the run walk.
Yeah. And if you're finding, okay, there is still a little bit of pain, or you're trying to figure out, like, what can you do? If you have access to a pool, we do know that aqua jogging or aqua running, it is hard and it does work. So if you can do that, you're really worried about, like, losing some of your cardio fitness. That is a really, really good tool. Swimming is a great workout. It may or may not as much be an option, just depending on how you've got to kind of use your legs. Same thing. Cycling is also great, but it depends on what your injury is. So I have seen this as well, where we're determined to cross train because we've said we can't run, but the cross training is slowing down the healing because we are still sort of using that muscle or pressing on that bone. So be honest with yourself and don't just drag out this recovery.
That's so true. When I broke my like fourth metatarsal, like clean through, they said no swimming because like you could like displace it, and at least it wasn't displaced. So there are times for cross training and there are times for not. And I think it's always worth getting, like, it's worth losing a little bit of fitness to ultimately get back to running sooner with fewer complications than it is to spend longer time cross training without getting to run.
Yeah, one body, many races is something that I say to my athletes a lot when they're like kind of debating doing something. And I'm often like, there are other opportunities, but you literally have one body. So if we drive it into the ground, then we're going to take away all those opportunities.
Once you're past run walk, or when you're in run walk, it's not just the issue of how much to run, how much to walk. It's how much total volume you should be doing in your training load. And Jack Daniels, I think, has a protocol that can work decently well. I definitely think it should be modified in several cases to be more conservative. But he gives a really good breakdown of, you know, if you've been off for 1 to 4 weeks, so kind of your minor muscle strainy type injuries, you want to essentially give yourself that same amount of time you were off to build back into your previous training. And I think that in that time frame, that's really important, because sometimes people will miss like 2 weeks due to a minor injury, and then they'll just jump right back into their marathon training plan and actually worsen the injury. As if you think about like gradually returning your load over the time you were off, if it's been less than 4 weeks, I think that's a really safe approach.
Yeah, I like that idea. And it, runners, we like numbers, right? We want something concrete. And so think of it like a reverse taper. I'm slowly working back into what I was doing. That, I think, for a lot of folks alone, might just be a helpful piece of this entire podcast. It gives you something a little concrete to play with and see if it'll work for you.
Yeah. And like in the Daniels protocol for 1 to 4 weeks off, it's first half of the time you were off equivalent at 50% of your load, then second half at 75. So it's like if you're off for 4 weeks, that's 2 weeks at 50% mileage, 2 weeks at 75% mileage, and you're not doing hard workouts at that time, which I think is really important for a muscle strain, because especially if it's something in your hamstring or your Achilles or anywhere on the posterior chain, you've probably already know this. You don't need us to tell you. It's going to get angrier with faster running.
Yes, that is a key piece to all of this in the comeback, is we are not introducing speed works until volume is at a nice place and you are feeling okay and there is no pain. I will say I see it a lot on Instagram where people will have an injury, jump back in, go hard, and they may make it to race day, and then they are injured again and out again. And I will see this cycle on repeat for folks. So don't be that person, or don't, like, it's easy to not connect the two things because it seems like there was a long time between, like, oh, there was eight weeks between that. Like, no, it is the same thing that has just cropped up again.
Yeah. I mean, the time you're most prone to an injury is when rebuilding from an injury. Because your musculoskeletal system is not adapted back to running. And so it can sometimes be the same thing gets re-injured, or it can be you were off because you had plantar fasciitis and then you come back too hard and pop goes a hamstring.
Yep. you don't realize you're changing your gait even when you kind of are starting to feel better. You're nervous about that injury and you don't realize that you're changing things. I see this a lot. So suddenly something else hurts.
Kind of following more off that Daniel's protocol, when you get to 4 to 8 weeks off, kind of like we were talking, this is when I think we both like to see people do run walk, but this is where you're going to spend even longer gradually building back. If it was 8 weeks off, you want to give yourself 8 weeks to get back to mileage. But what he recommends is that for the first third of your rebuild, you're at no more than 33% of your previous load. So maybe for you running 30 miles a week, that means that you're starting back at a maximum of 10 miles a week. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but it's really important for the reasons we said not to get too aggressive in that phase.
Yeah. And I feel like once you're starting to hit that 8 week point, I'm probably way, way more conservative than he is.
Same.
His more than 8 weeks off, he says we want 3 weeks at 33%, 3 weeks at 50%, 3 weeks at 70%, and then 3 weeks at 80%. And on paper, that does sound really good. It is a really smart, slow, steady way to come back. But if you have been off for more than 8 weeks, I would probably be nervous to have you come back at even 33%. Like the first week, I might be like, 10%. You can run 1 mile and walk 5 miles.
I feel like maybe, yeah. Maybe if I'm counting in like walking volume and cross training volume, maybe it's at 33%. But definitely I veer very conservative on return to run and using run walk. And just, you know, if it's been more than 8 weeks, like I'm guessing I'll probably take 8 to 12 weeks to build back minimum. And we definitely don't want to be thinking about, like, I see sometimes on Instagram, like you're saying, people will be like, I was off for 6 months. And I'm doing a half marathon again in 4 months. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like the risks outweigh the rewards of that so much. If it's been more than 8 weeks, I recommend not having a race on your calendar until you're safely back at normal.
100%. And again, folks, we know that we are more conservative with this than other people, but that is largely having seen thousands of runners go through things and being there for you in that emotional upheaval when you are re-injured again because you were like too frustrated to take it slow, or because our goal is for you to be able to run for many, many years. I don't want you to just get to this one race, you know, we want you to be able to keep going. And so we know that a lot of times it sounds conservative and slow and gosh, that's boring, but it's really and truly coming at it from a big long-term picture. And if we can get you to come back slow and steady, we can probably get you to come back really strong because we will have also been making you do strength workouts during all of this. So you may have been for the first time doing a lot of upper body because you couldn't use your lower body, and that has benefited your core. And now you've started doing physical therapy, like it is your job, because during recovery, it is the primary thing on your training plan. And so if we can get you to keep doing that, keep doing the strength and then come back slow, it is often really surprising to folks how they feel after 10 weeks, 12 weeks, and then like getting into a plan and being like, oh, I actually like feel like I can do this.
I always think or frame it like a year from now, looking back, do you want to think like, oh, I'm so glad I was conservative because a year from now I'm feeling great and I'm back to myself? Or a year from now, do you want to look back and like think, I wish I had been more conservative because the past year has been nothing but injury cycles and re-injuries? And a year seems like a long time, but we all know how fast that time can actually go.
Yes, that is so true. After I had knee surgery, I was watching folks who had had similar things and feeling like, I don't understand how they are doing this so fast. Well, one, they were a decade younger than me. And so while I am not old, a decade is still a massive difference in how your body recovers. And two, I then watched a number of them have other issues after that. And so, yes, take your time. It is also not a guarantee you will have no other issues. Like, even if you do all the right things, we still see that. So it's not a promise, but hopefully it is just going to continue to build your confidence. And if something else does pop up, we can address it usually more quickly because we haven't pushed too hard too fast.
Which then leads to the next most popular question is, how do you reintroduce workouts? Obviously, we both established a very conservative approach. You should be able to run a pretty comfortable baseline volume relative for you before you even start to think about faster running, particularly if you had a soft tissue injury, especially to your hamstring or your Achilles or somewhere in the thereabouts. But how do you approach this with runners?
Yeah, we've talked about this numerous times. I really like to have people do some kind of hill repeat workout to come back because it's unlikely you have the opportunity to overstride. And so to tear or push or like pull something. And I may not have you start out with doing hill sprints like at your top end speed, but finding a hill that is long that we're going to put in kind of a moderate effort for a minute. That's going to get the heart rate up and it's hard, but I'm less concerned about creating a problem by kind of starting there and just seeing, okay, how does the body respond? How do we feel after that? Even just doing like 5 reps. So starting on kind of that low side, that's one of the workouts I like to kind of start with.
I think that's a really sound approach. And one thing that I really feel like our listeners should have emphasized is you said moderate intensity there, not hard. And I think that moderate controlled intensity is really vital when returning from injury. I know workout approaches in two ways. There's bottom up and there's top down. So bottom up is you start with moderate intensities, you get those a little bit longer, and then you start going into really hard, fast intensities. Top down is you start with short, fast stuff and you work longer. And I've seen in coaching for a lot of athletes, especially with posterior chain injuries, that starting with moderate intensities, so like very short, moderate hill repeats, or sometimes like a fartlek run where they pick it up moderately for a minute and then they jog for 5 minutes and they keep doing that. I've seen that approach work a lot better than trying to start with like short strides even. That approach with strides can work for some. Sometimes that works like after a bone stress injury has been well resolved, but it's again this idea of being conservative.
I think too, some of it is like if we've had that 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, and then we've also been building back, it's been a really long time since you have done a speed workout. And so to come back with the super hard stuff right away, A, can feel a little demoralizing. Also, your body is not used to anymore what that cadence is supposed to feel like, picking up your knees. And so that's where I do see people like really stretching their legs out and overstriding because you're reaching for a pace because you've still got a pace in your mind from where you were 2+ months ago, which is not where you are right at this exact moment. So that's the other reason I like hills. They sort of force you to like throw any particular pace you had in your head out the window. But then yes, agree with that sort of idea. I think the moderate short kind of thing just gives you a chance to start to say, okay, here's what this feels like. And here's where I am right now. This is my new baseline to build from.
And in terms of frequency, you should only be doing these once a week. Like even if you were doing hard workouts twice a week before you got injured, again, we're very conservative on this stuff, but like Amanda said, like you get one body and you don't want to re-injure it trying to jump back into an interval run and a tempo run once per week, once you're able to run easy without pain.
For sure. And if I could leave you with one thought, it's that even as you start to feel better, don't think that the PT stuff is no longer necessary. So especially depending on what kind of injury you had, you know, certain things, it may not be entirely relevant, but most of the time, whatever hip work, glute work, foot work they have given you is probably going to benefit you forever. And a lot of times it is what will keep things from coming back. So find a way to keep it in your routine. It may not need to be at the volume that you were doing, but just having it in there consistently, it will pay off.
It really will. I feel like so many runners like back off of that and then it comes creeping back in and they're in the whole cycle again when they could have prevented that. The one thing I'll leave people with is this can be an opportunity to reassess your training approach. So especially if it's been a repeat injury, like a one-off injury, everyone can have a poor roll of the dice. Like sometimes freak stuff happens. But if this is a cycle and it's like plantar fasciitis is back once again or something, like you can take this as an opportunity to think, well, maybe instead of running 6 days, I run 5 days and I cross train that 6 day, or scaling from 5 to 4. Or maybe you think about, you know, slowing down your easy runs, changing the number of workouts you do per week. I think injuries can give us an opportunity to make a positive change to our training that serves us well long term.
Ooh, absolutely. This is a great chance to do that and to rebuild, because a lot of folks don't start out building that aerobic base. So this is your opportunity. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us again for another episode. Please make sure you take a quick second to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you download your podcast.
And as always, please reach out to us with any topic requests, listener questions, or comments. Thank you so much for listening.